Some of the, yeah, there are many deep. Well, I'll just give you one that happens to interest me quite a lot. A young child of about 4 years old can learn to count. And in that process, there are a number of different steps, one of which is just learning number names, like 1, 2, 3. Another is learning to put them in sequence, 1, 2, 3, 4, 4. And they start learning them up to 10 or 20. Obviously, in different languages, there are different rules of composition. At some point, they start learning that numbers are themselves objects on which you can perform operations. At first, they just use numbers as things for playing reciting games. Later, you know, like counting. Later, they can use them for tasks like comparing the number of places at a table with the number of people who are coming, or the number of knives with the number of forks, and so on. But after a while, they can learn that numbers are themselves objects that you can think about. So you can count the number of prime numbers, say between 20 and 100. And you can start asking questions about numbers, which require you to think in very abstract ways. Now, by about the age of 9 or 10, I think most young children, if given support and help and proper education, can do very abstract things with numbers, including thinking about infinite sets of various kinds. Now, I don't think anybody knows what changes in the brain of a child who at the age of 3 and 4 definitely cannot do those things, and by the age of 9 or 10, and certainly later on, can do these very abstract kinds of things. We also don't know what it was in our evolutionary history that provided developments that support that kind of learning capability, since it's unlikely that being able to think about infinite sets gave our ancestors some advantage in the places they were living in, caves or wherever, millions of years ago. So that's one kind of area, but there are many others on which we just don't know what's going on. For instance, there's a huge amount that goes on in ordinary vision where you don't just recognize objects like chairs and tables and computers or faces or whatever, but you see relationships between them, not just physical relationships like something is on top of something or something is next to something, but you see relationships such as that one thing is obstructing the way to something, or you see that something is graspable. And psychologists have started to call these things affordances. This was an idea that came from a psychologist called James Gibson about 20 or 30 years ago. And I think very little is understood about the perception and understanding of affordances. And people are beginning to think about this in connection with robots, beginning to study it in psychology, maybe beginning to look for neural underpinnings, but we still have a long way to go. And unless we understand all that, we won't be able to build the kind of domestic robot that I was talking about earlier.